chapter 21, an encounter with the resurrected Jesus. I want to say 2 weeks ago, we spoke about the triumphal entry. That was Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem. And we talked about what that signified and what that meant for us. Last week, you heard a beautiful sermon on the resurrection, on what that means for us, past, present, and future. And today, we want to talk about post-resurrection, right? So we know that Jesus, after Resurrection Sunday, Jesus, he periodically appeared to his disciples and his followers for 40 years. So after the resurrection, Jesus periodically appeared to his disciples for 40 days. 40 days. Nobody corrected me. I all smiled, but nobody shouted me out, huh? I appreciate that. So for 40 days, he periodically would appear to his disciples and his followers. During those 40 days, the Bible says that he appeared to more than 500. But it's about 2 weeks or so after the resurrection that we have this encounter of John chapter 21. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 15. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No," he said to them. "Cast a net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because the quantity of fish. The disciples whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped from work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, the fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the nets ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now, none of the disciples dared ask, "Who are you?" For they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. So as I prepared your word, Lord God, you spoke to my heart and encouraged me. And I know, Lord God, that you will speak to your people and encourage them as well today. Father, I pray that you would give me an anointing for this hour, for this word, that we would open our hearts to sense, our ears to hear what you want to speak to us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. So Jesus had been crucified, resurrected. He resurrected after the third day, and we know that for 40 days, as I said, he periodically would appear to his disciples and to the followers and to some of his followers. The Bible says that he appeared to Mary on Resurrection Day. He also appeared to Mary Magdalene on Resurrection Day. He appeared to two of his followers on the road to Emmaus. He appeared to a number of his disciples. And in our reading, it says that this is the third time that he appeared to the disciples as a group. The Bible says that he appeared to more than 500. And we know that he appeared to the disciples also on the day of ascension. So for 40 days, he periodically appeared to his disciples. And then we know that the scripture teaches us that after the 40 days, the disciples saw him ascend to heaven. And then they went into the upper room and they prayed there for 10 days until the day of Pentecost. So we're going to be talking a little bit about the history here over the next few weeks. But today, I'd like to speak on the theme, an encounter with the resurrected Jesus. An encounter with the resurrected Jesus. What is interesting here for the disciples during this time is that the disciples had walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. They had learned from him. They had learned to depend on him, and now they don't see him every day. For 3.5 years, they walked with Jesus, they learned from him, they saw his miracles, they asked him questions, he mentored them, he led them, he prayed for them, he admonished them. For 3.5 years, they lived with Jesus every day. Now, Jesus had already begun to prepare them and let them know that he would not always be with them. In fact, in John chapter 13, verse 33, he tells them, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer." So now during these 40 days, during this time, I'm sure that the disciples were dealing with different things. They were dealing with insecurity. What is next? Jesus is no longer here. He's no longer walking with us. He's appearing and disappearing, appearing and disappearing. They don't have him continually in their lives, and that must have caused them this sense of insecurity. Also, fear of persecution. Will we suffer the way that Jesus suffered? Will we be persecuted as well? They probably dealt with some guilt. They had abandoned Jesus. They had abandoned him on the day of the crucifixion. They probably dealt with some guilt. We didn't handle the last days the best way that we could have handled the last days. They probably dealt with some sadness with regard to all that was lost and with regard to their situation. And as we look at perhaps some of the emotions that the disciples were dealing with, perhaps even some of us today in circumstances that we find ourselves in, we deal with some of those emotions. We deal with insecurity of what is next. We struggle with all sorts of fears, fear to fail, fear of the unknown, fear to believe, right? We also deal with fears. Perhaps we're dealing even with some level of guilt. Perhaps some of the things that we have done and have failed at and feel like we could have done better. Maybe we deal with sadness or isolation or loneliness, and we deal with some of those emotions. But I want to tell you that an encounter with Jesus changed the disciples. And I know that as we encounter the resurrected Jesus, he also changes our lives. As we look at this story, we have said that it has been about 2 weeks or so since the resurrection, and the disciples don't know what to do, right? They don't know what to do. So what do? They go back to what they know. They were fishermen. Remember when they were called from the place of fishing, right? They were fishermen. So they go back. Peter says to the disciples, "I'm going to go fishing." And they say, "We're going to go with you." And all together, 7 of them go fishing. And the Bible says, the story that we read here in John chapter 21, after a whole night of fishing, they caught nothing. Now, this is not unknown to the disciples. If you remember Luke chapter 5 and the call of the disciples, they had fished all night long and had caught nothing. It's a similar situation for them. Jesus is on the shore. The difference is it is the resurrected Jesus that's on the shore, and they had not recognized him. It was dark and daybreak, sun was rising, and they see a man on the shore, and it's Jesus. They had not recognized him yet. And as the sun was rising, Jesus looks at them and says, "Hey, children, have you caught any fish?" And they said, "No, we have not." And he tells them, "Throw the net on the right side." And the Bible says that once they did this, the net was full of fish. And John recognizes what is happening. And he recognizes that it's the resurrected Jesus on the shore. And John says to Peter, "It is the Lord." And I love that statement. And when you read in your Bible, you'll notice that there's an exclamation mark behind it. It's indicating that it was passionate. It is the Lord. They were happy to see the resurrected Jesus once again. And the Bible says that Peter jumps out and he wraps himself up and he swims over to Jesus. He was so excited to see the resurrected Jesus that he didn't wait to haul in the fish. No, he swims over to where Jesus is. And when he gets there, to his surprise, Jesus is cooking fish and has bread. And he's preparing breakfast for the disciples. And he tells them, "Bring some of the fish that you have."
let's have breakfast together. Jesus asks Peter there, he asks him, after breakfast, do you love me? There's a play on words here. He asks him three times this question, do you love me? And Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus commissions him and tells him, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep. I love this encounter of the resurrection of the resurrected Jesus and the disciples. I believe it's a reminder to us when we find ourselves encountered with the resurrected Jesus. As we look at this story and we understand where we are, there's three observations I'd like to share with you this morning. The first observation is the resurrected Jesus offers restoration. Now, if you look at the story of Peter and you go to Luke chapter 22, there is a wonderful dynamic that happens between Jesus and Peter. Jesus is trying to warn Peter, and he tells Peter in Luke chapter 22, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. Peter responds to Jesus' words and he tells him, I am ready to go to prison and I am ready to die for you. And then Jesus looks at him and says, before the rooster crows three times, you will deny me. So we know this story well. It is found in Luke where the Bible tells us that a servant girl, on the day of the crucifixion, a servant girl approaches Peter after Jesus had been arrested, after he'd been tortured. She approaches Peter and says, he was one that was with them. And Peter denies him and says, woman, I don't know him. He says it three times. And on the third time, he hears the rooster crow and he remembers the words of Jesus. Now, Jesus and Peter are on the shore. They have not had a conversation with regard to that moment. Jesus had not talked to him. They had not talked about it. It seems that this is their first conversation. Jesus looks at him and he asks him the question, do you love me? And Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Jesus tells him, go and feed my sheep. In one conversation, Jesus restores Peter. I love that Jesus did not say, I told you so. I love that Jesus did not say, what are we going to do to make this right now? I love that Jesus didn't try to pull a guilt trip on him. I love that he dealt with the issue at hand. How many know that sometimes we have to deal with the issue at hand? He dealt with the issue at hand, and in one conversation, Jesus restores Peter and lets him know the most important criteria here is that you love me. Maybe you're here today and you feel far from God. I want to remind you that Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, he restores humanity. He restores us back to righteousness, and he restores us into a full relationship with him. We are reminded that because of the resurrected Jesus, at one time perhaps we had no hope, but now because of the resurrected Jesus, we have hope. God made a way through Christ. Our sins have been forgiven. Our debt has been canceled. Sin has been destroyed, and Jesus has restored humanity back to him. What a blessing this is for us. We choose grace today. We choose God's love today. We choose peace instead of guilt. We choose joy instead of sadness. We are reminded that the resurrected Jesus offers us this unconditional grace that restores us back to him. It is the love of Christ for humanity. And this story reminds us that although we may have failed, he creates an opportunity for us to find ourselves with him and enjoy true restoration. The most important thing is, do we love him? Do we love him? I love that this story reminds us that anyone can fail God. Anyone can fail Christ. Here we see Peter. He walked with Jesus. He saw the miracles of Christ. He experienced the love of Christ. And yet, he failed miserably. No matter who we are all capable of failing. We're all capable of falling. There's not one person in this room or one person watching us virtually that is spiritual enough or mature enough to live a perfect, righteous life. No, we are all capable of failing God. Even the Apostle Paul, when he's being transparent with his spiritual struggles, he says, "For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do. This I keep doing." Sharing that he also had spiritual battles and spiritual struggles, reminding us that we're all capable of failing. That's why the Bible keeps the thought in mind that we are just jars of clay. The Bible says that if you think that you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. The Bible teaches us there's no one righteous, not even one. So it's a reminder to us that we are capable of failing. But it's not an excuse to fail or excuse to live in our habitual sin. No, no. We understand that God's grace has reached us and helps us each day. So we guard ourselves. We monitor our weaknesses. We monitor our tendencies because we come to the reality that if we are not careful, we will fail God. So we wisely position ourselves in a place to live a life that makes good decisions and lives a life that pleases the Lord. And the church says, we are reminded today that an encounter with the resurrected Jesus restores us. And the only criteria that is needed is, do you love him? Maybe you're going through some things in your life and you feel far from God. Maybe you're battling some things and you've made some bad choices and you feel isolated and you feel alone and you feel defeated, like you can't. The question for you today is, do you love Jesus? That question is enough to restore us into a relationship with Christ. And the church says, amen. An encounter with the resurrected Jesus restores us. Number two, an encounter with the resurrection, with the resurrected Jesus offers us purpose. Verse 15, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." Jesus commissions Peter. Peter, do the work that I have called you to do, is what Jesus is saying. I have called you to be a fisher of men. I have called you to feed my sheep. I have called you into the great commission. Don't let this failure derail you. Remember that you have been restored for a purpose. Sometimes we see people go down a wrong road and they don't believe that they can come out of it. They don't believe that they can recover and live the life that God has called them to live. Too many have let their past failures destroy the future work that God has set aside for them. But we're reminded today that restoration restores us so that God can continue his purpose in our life. So I want to encourage you, continue to do the work that the Lord has put in your heart. Continue to be faithful to the things that God has trusted you with. Our bad choices do not eliminate the work of God in our lives. Christ still has a purpose with us. And the church says, he still wants to use us. The only thing that has changed is that perhaps we've experienced even more the grace of God and the mercy of God and the kindness of God and the patience of God. We've experienced it more. We've come to understand that an encounter with Jesus reminds us that he has placed a purpose in our life. This was the ministry of Jesus. This is what Jesus did. He was intentional in every outcome to put purpose and restoration in the lives of those that he encountered. Remember his encounter with the adulterous woman? He tells her, "Where are your accusers?" And then he says, "I don't accuse you." And then he tells them, "Go and sin no more." He restores her, and then he places purpose in her life. Jesus is intentional here. Speaking with Peter, he tells him,
Peter, let's have breakfast. Let's talk. Not just for restoration, but reminding him of purpose. When we fail him, I love this about Jesus. When we fail him, he looks for us. When we fail him, he is near to us. He speaks to our hearts. He encourages us. He doesn't leave us by the wayside. No, he draws us close to him. He looks for us. And the only criteria is, do you love him? And he wants to put purpose in each and every one of us. I love that he doesn't blackball us and set us aside. No, he draws us near to him. He encourages us to have breakfast with him, to commune with him, so that he can remind us of the purpose that he has in our lives. For anyone who has fallen, the story holds hope for us, pardon for us, grace for us, and it reminds us that we can return back to him. We can enjoy the very purpose that he has in our lives. When we fail God, he doesn't harden his heart towards us, but he draws us close to us. But I remind you, this is not a license to fail or a relief from habitual sin. No, this is grace that is offered to all those who sincerely sit at the feet of Jesus and answer the question, yes, Lord, I love you. There are some that may feel, oh, it's a liberty for failure. It's a liberty for habitual sin. No, the Bible reminds us, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live in sin any longer? So I want to encourage you today, an encounter with the resurrected Jesus. It puts purpose in us. It restores us. And it puts purpose in us. And the church says, amen. An encounter with the resurrected Jesus. Our third observation today, the resurrected Jesus meets us at our needs. He meets us at our needs. Remember the disciples' condition? Those 40 days, they were unsure. Those 40 days, they dealt with insecurity. Those 40 days, they dealt with fear. Those 40 days, perhaps some guilt, some sadness, right? Some loneliness. And Jesus, he meets them in their time of need. Jesus reminds them of a few things, and he reminds us of a few things. In their place of need, he reminds them, I will always be with you. Perhaps they were dealing with this fear, him coming in and out, them not seeing them every day, but he reminds them, I will always be with you. I know where you are, and I will meet you in your place of need. I love that Jesus doesn't commission them and then abandon them, but he reminds them that he is always with them. He knew where they were. He knew how to meet them, and he knew how to meet to their needs. And Jesus reminds them that as I commission you into this life of purpose, I do not forsake you, but I am with you. And this is the model that God has always had for each and every one of us. He doesn't commission us and leave us alone. I love that when God called Joshua and he sends Joshua into war and into leading the Israelites, he tells them in Deuteronomy 31, it is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or do not be dismayed. In other words, he's telling them, I'm sending you. But I don't send you alone. I will go with you. When he commissioned Isaiah into the ministry of a prophet, he tells him the same thing. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. When he sends out Jacob, he tells Jacob in Genesis 28, behold, I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go. I will bring you back to this land. Letting him know, though I send you, though I commission you, I will always be with you. Jesus was meeting the disciples in their need, and he was letting them know, you have not been abandoned. You are not orphans. I am going to send my spirit. My spirit will be with you every single day, and you will not be alone. That should encourage us to know that the resurrected Jesus, he also has sent his spirit to dwell within us and to lead us and help us each day. And we are never alone. God is omnipresent. That means that he is in all places, in all times, and in all emotions. So he's with us in our place, he's with us in our emotion, and he's with us in all seasons of our lives. And we can live with this confidence that if we have had an experience with the resurrected Jesus, we are not alone. He is always with us. So he meets them in their place of need. And he tells them, I will always be with you. He also tells them, I will lead you. I love that because he tells them, cast the net on the right side. Gave them direction. And it was after they were obedient, after they heard, after they followed, they enjoyed a net full of fish. He was letting them know, I will always lead you to what's best for your life. I will always lead you to what you need. I will always lead you to what you are looking for. The proverb, the Solomon reminds us, trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, and he will make our path straight. In our place of need, Jesus reminds us that he will lead us. The disciples were dealing with this great concern, what would be next? And Jesus was reminding them, not only am I always going to be with you, I'm still always going to lead you. And where I lead you will always bring the greatest result for your life. I remind you today that as we have had a relationship with the resurrected Jesus, I remind you today that he is with us and he continues to lead us. And sometimes we find ourselves with empty nets because we have done things the wrong way. But when we hear the words of Jesus to do things the right way, he leads us to a place of blessing, a place where we get to enjoy what he has prepared for us. We get to enjoy the harvest of what he has set aside for us. We get to collect the things that he wants for us because he has led us. And we have been obedient. And the church says, as we have an encounter with the resurrected Jesus, he knows our situation and our needs. So he tells us, you're never alone. I will always lead you. And the third thing we see here that he tells them, I'm going to supply what you need. They were fishing all night long and they had caught nothing. And he leads them to a net full of fish. But once they get to the shore, he's cooking for them. Almost like saying, what you have toiled all night long for, what you have been trying to catch all night long, I have prepared it for you. Letting them know, I'm aware of your needs. I'm aware of what's going on in your life, and I will supply every need that you may have. He was letting them know, my superpower, my power, my miracle power, my strength, my wisdom will accompany you in every season of your life. You are not alone. So he would supply for them the need that they had. And I love that Jesus tells them, bring some of the fish that you have. He knew how many disciples were fishing. He could have prepared enough fish for all of them. But he's intentional letting them know, bring what you have. It's a reminder to us that in our relationship with the encounter Jesus, we can't expect for him to do it all for us. That we also must bring the best that we have into our relationship with Christ, into our relationship with the resurrected Jesus. And it's there where he meets all our needs. And the church says, so as I get ready to close our teaching this morning, and I invite our musicians to join us at the altar, we're talking about an encounter with the resurrected Jesus. Jesus had resurrected. It had been a couple of weeks. We know that for 40 days, Jesus periodically would show up. Periodically, he would show himself to the disciples, to his followers. His disciples were dealing with different emotions, different insecurities and hardships and concerns. And he reminds them that an encounter with the resurrected Jesus restores. Perhaps there's someone here today that you're dealing with some things in life and you feel far from God. Do you hear the words of Jesus asking you today, do you love me? It's the only criteria that is needed for restoration. To come before him and say, Jesus, I love you. And there he meets us to restore us. He meets us to bring us back into a relationship with him. He doesn't condemn us, but he wants to draw us close to him. Maybe there's someone here today that is far from God. And you hear him asking you, do you love me? He's not judging us for our past failures. He's not saying, so what are we going to do now? No, he's not. Let's get past this. Let's move on to the next thing. Let's enjoy this relationship that we have created for you, that he has created for us, restoration. And only an encounter with the resurrected Jesus allows for that. Religion will never give us that. Spiritual disciplines will never give us that. Only to come to know Jesus. And after he restores us, he tells us, I have a purpose with you. Your life is not meaningless. No, this is not humanism that says, you know, you're just called to live on this earth for a certain time and then die and go into the grave. And no, it's not about the circle of life. No, that he has saved us and placed a purpose within us to live the life that he has called us to live, to be faithful to all that he has entrusted us with. And then he tells us, not only will I restore you, not only do I put purpose in you, I will meet you at your need. I will meet you at your need. You won't have to do this by yourself. I know that right now, he's telling the disciples, things look gloomy, but hold on, the day of Pentecost is coming. And one just like me will accompany you every single day. And he's letting them know, I will always be with you. I will never forsake you. He lets them know, I'll meet you at your need. I will lead you in all decisions that you need. I will lead you to the greater good for your life. And not only will I lead you, but he reminds them also that he will supply for them whatever they need. Supply for them whatever they need. It's an encounter with the resurrected Jesus that changes our lives forever. And the church says, I want to invite you to stand this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Perhaps there's someone here today that may be struggling with some of the same emotions that the disciples may have been in those 40 days. Insecurity of what is next. How do I manage this? How do I handle this? A little lost. Maybe you're dealing with some guilt. I didn't deny Christ, but I've made some decisions that seem like I have denied him. And I'm dealing with some guilt, and I can't get past it. Right? Maybe we're dealing with fears to fail, and fears to put our faith in God, and fears that want to control our decision-making, right? Maybe we're dealing with some sadness, some loneliness. Well, Jesus speaks to us today. He reminds us an encounter with him restores us, places purpose within us, and meets us in our place of need. We can trust him for this. He is the only one that has resurrected from the grave. He is the only one that has the power to give life. He's the only one. There is no other like him. We can trust in Jesus. He is the author of our faith. We can trust in Jesus. He is the Savior of the world. Perhaps you're here today and the Lord is speaking to your life this morning. Find yourself at a place of meeting with Jesus. For the disciples, it was breakfast.
Find yourself at a place of meeting with him.
Hear the words of Jesus drawing you closer to him, asking you, do you love him? Telling you, feed my sheep. Reminding you that all that you need, he will supply. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the teaching of your word. I pray, oh Lord, that our Sunday would change our Monday. Lord, that as we move forward, Lord, that our encounter with you, Lord God, would not be just something religious, ritual. It will not be ritualistic. It will not be something that we just do, Lord God, because we go to church, but that we would be reminded that our encounter with you is an encounter that gives us the life that pleases you, the life that draws closer to you, Lord God, the life in which you have called us to live. I pray today, O Lord, that we would embrace your word, draw closer to you, and say amen to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Perhaps there's someone here today who feels far from God. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of reconciliation. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you've never said, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. I don't offer you someone historical. I offer you the Savior of the world. He is alive and well today, and his name is Jesus. Maybe you know about Christ, but you've backslidden. Do you hear him asking you the question, do you love me? Do you hear him asking you the question, do you love me? Maybe you failed in something and you feel a little embarrassed. And he says, I'm not here to ask you about that. What will define you is not your failure, but how you live after you have failed. That's what defines us. So do you hear the word speaking to you this morning? And if you would like prayer, as we sing this next song, the altar is open. We'd love to pray for you today. God bless you. God keep you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.